Hello and welcome to another episode of the Dan Assall Show, inspiring and insightful conversations with trade show, exhibition and conference professionals. Be notified first about new episodes by hitting the follow button and visit the YouTube channel to watch episodes of the show and enjoy bonus content. The Dan Assall Show is supported by headline sponsor Jonas Event Technology, an award-winning event registration supplier for organisers of trade shows, exhibitions and conferences. The show's official venue sponsor is conference and exhibition venue Business Design Centre, which has just become B Corp certified, showing its high standards of social and environmental impact. The show is also supported by exhibition organisers Terrapin and 19 Group, and its official charity partner is Rays of Sunshine, the UK charity who brightens the lives of seriously ill young people and their families by granting wishes and providing ongoing support within hospitals. Trixie, you've held the position of Executive Vice President of the Dubai World Trade Centre for more than 18 years, and we're discussing sort of your highlights later in the show over that time. But to start off with, obviously lots of my audience are from the UK and Europe. It'd be great if you could start by introducing us to the Dubai World Trade Centre, please.
Right. So, well, good to connect and see everyone. Dubai, I think everyone is very familiar with what Dubai is of course, to start with, is on TripAdvisor's Global Traveler's Choice Awards. It's number one again. So it's good to win it the first time, but to win it again, you know, in terms of consistency, that says a lot about what the city is presenting and what it means to the world. Dubai World Trade Center is an entity that's government-affiliated. It's not fully government-owned, but it's government-affiliated, 40 years, over years of experience establishment right here. It is not just an exhibition and convention center. In a way, quite similar to the Messes in Germany, it is a little bit of a city-linked establishment when it comes to the MICE sector. But at the same time, we are an integrated commercial and hospitality company. So we have beyond the 145,000 square meters of exhibition space that we have right now, and additionally currently another mega exhibition site that's oncoming is the Dubai Exhibition City in Expo that everyone have probably been to when they visited Expo Dubai. We are also operating as a free zone. The Dubai World Trade Center Authority runs 2.4 million square feet commercial development here. And we're very, very proud to say that we also LEED Gold certified, meaning that it has got a leadership design and environment accreditation, which means it's very green and it's very energy efficient, big commercial development here. There's also hospitality that we have in our portfolio. So we have opened 25 hours, one of the five-star hotels here, kind of integrated in the vicinity district here. And we also kind of operate some of the other hotels that are in the Dubai World Trade Center zone. So all things said, beyond the infrastructure venues, services, we run the big commercial operations here and a free zone as decreed by the Dubai government. And of course, on the side as well, we have an in-house production company, DXB Live. We run one of probably the biggest kitchens in the UAE. We of course cater a lot for the external functions from Formula One to some of the palaces in UAE as well. Excuse me. So yeah, very diverse and a very integrated kind of a business offering. But of course, at the core of it all is the MICE business.
Absolutely. And I want to talk to you about that. So in terms of, you know, some of the shows that you have at the Dubai World Trade Center, how it's evolved, how over the years, can you just give us a flavor from a trade show and exhibition industry perspective, how that's developed?
So where we are, where we stand at the moment, Dubai World Trade Center, when it comes to the exhibition and convention business, annually, we contribute about $3.5 billion to the Dubai GDP in terms of the total economic output. That equates to about 3.3% of the Dubai GDP. And again, if you look at the number of attendees and people, participants we bring in, that's coming to about 2 million. And a good 40-50% of that comes from internationally. So if you, and of course, look at the calendar itself, in the whole year, we run about 244 MICE events of all different sizes, scales, sector and profiles. But out of which, when it comes to particularly for the exhibitions industry and conference, we have about 96 large scale kind of events portfolio here, which drive a significant contribution to the GDP in terms of business tourism. So again, if you look at some of the biggest shows in the world, if not, you know, in the region, the other way around, they sit right here in Dubai. So while we have the venue business that run concurrently with the division that I'm heading up, which is the events management and organizing division, it sits very nicely together, because when it comes to the events, guest events that we bring in by other organizers, we always attempt to make sure that there is no conflict. We want to remain a very free market cap model to ensure that there's business opportunities for new organizers coming in. At the same time, as an incumbent in-house entity, organizing entity, there are also kind of legacy profiles that we are involved in. So it sits very comfortably where we are, as a destination.
And obviously, when you joined those many years ago in 2005, I guess the landscape was very different. I'm interested to sort of compare and contrast, if you can look back, you know, to when you first came on board, to how it looks now in terms of the shape and scope of the types of events that you put on. And also, I guess, as a second question, you know, what's the reason behind the growth, do you think?
Well, looking back 1 year is okay. I'm still struggling to look back last year.
I know.
You're pushing it to then. So let's go back to 2005. There is, of course, a change of leadership in Dubai during that transition phase. And even in Dubai government, there's been change of leadership. You see young Emirati leaders, officials being appointed into key positions of significant organizations. Sure. So Dubai World Trade Center, of course, was going through that same impetus, that transformation change. His Excellency Hilal Al-Mari, Director General of Dubai World Trade Center Authority, was appointed 6 months prior to him bringing me on. So as you can see from there, that probably spelt the start of that revolution. As you bring in new leadership and then you hire, you know, a different team altogether to kind of recalibrate and devise a new roadmap. Because Dubai was very much focused on diversifying its economy. We know that. A lot of free zones, business commercial free zones, were being set up. There's a lot of focus away from, you know, hydrocarbon revenues. And of course, the real estate was going through a boom. So the master plan was just not in one area, which is, let's say, real estate. It was also accompanied by significant transformation missions in tourism, be it, you know, leisure tourism or business tourism. And hospitality tourism is one of the biggest pillar, economic drivers of Dubai. So this is where the impetus was there. And of course, I was brought in to relook at how we're doing things. How can we do it differently? How can we develop it? How can we build world-class mega brands? So Dubai was okay during that time. It has a very nice portfolio of shows. There were health shows, tech shows, building construction shows. But how do you then work with also the venue team to try, and also the government in terms of the tourism, in terms of the city development as well, and also with other stakeholders, the hospitality players? How do you then augment and market Dubai as a destination beyond just organizing the shows? So the lot of stakeholders involved in that equation, it was not so straightforward to say, come and organize a show. There was a much bigger plan in terms of how you were going to work with stakeholders globally, locally, and as all these local entities were also going through changes and everybody was trying to figure out how to work together, how to de-conflict and not to duplicate. So very interesting place during that time. But then not forgetting that when you look back, it was not as smooth as we think it is. There was so many crises that we went through. Should I say crises? Is that such a word?
I think so.
there are many S's to crisis there, because there are so many. From the Arab Spring to the big financial, you know, when the economy tanked globally in 2008, 2009. And then there was the spat with, you know, the economic geopolitical challenges in the region here. A lot happened during that time, and many people were writing Dubai off. When they were writing Dubai off, of course, the business tourism events industry, similarly, we were hammered, you know, in epic ways. People were thinking that this is the beginning of the end of Dubai. So if you look back and see where we have come, I think we have learned a lot of lessons. We have rebuilt. We've come back very quickly. And of course, the most recent one will be the pandemic. We know about it. Sure. How we were the first city to come back. And the one of the actually, we're very proud to say that the first kind of implementation for the comeback plan was through events. We were, in fact, the first to kick off with a comeback event as early as July 2020.
Yeah.
And then the leisure tourism and everything else then followed. So this is where it has evolved in terms of the significance and how what kind of a momentous role that events, business events particularly, has played in the landscape and the persona of Dubai when it comes to the exhibitions industry.
Thank you. And in terms of the relationship that Dubai and the UAE has with the rest of the region, the Middle East, the likes of Saudi Arabia, because there's lots of shows that's also seen a, you know, significant increase in the amount of trade show and exhibitions that it has. How does that work? Just give us a flavour of the relationship that you have with other countries, cities, towns in the region.
You know, the fundamental belief and principle of how Dubai is governed and how all the stakeholders work together is the belief that what's good for Dubai and what's good for the region is going to rub off on each other.
Yeah.
So our focus is always to expand not just the local economy, but the regions. So when the region grows, everybody stands to benefit because nobody comes to Dubai for Dubai. People come to Dubai for the world. So when the world is going through a good harvest, is on a good ride, Dubai benefits. I mean, whether you look at global tourism, global businesses, whether it's FDI, when it all comes back, Dubai is almost a very good barometer to see when there's a big comeback or when there's a big surge in some kind of activity. It reflects. We are probably one of the first kind of carrier of some of these sector developments. So all things said, there is competition, but there's also a lot of collaboration that goes beyond the event space. And like I said, when people, you know, an event that we run, a large-scale event like Jitex or Gulf Food or even the Arab Health of the World that is being hosted here, you bring in people from 180 over countries. So with that belief and understanding, while there is kind of a competition or reshaping of the regional landscape, it brings in more interest because it highlights what the region is doing. You know, the amazing news of Saudi winning the hosting of Expo in 2030 and in the World Cup, it focuses the region and puts it at the top of the leaderboard. And when that comes, all the countries in the region goes up as well in visibility. So I think this is that halo effect that we all want and we all need, especially when you come to competing with other continents. They are huge. Competing with the US to Europe. Mm. I think this is where the sum of us together as a region is definitely much stronger. So there's competition and yet there's collaboration and a lot of unification as well.
Thank you. And I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. Just going to take a brief pause to tell you a little bit about the Dan Assel Show headline sponsor, Jonas Event Technology. Jonas Event Technology, or JET, are an award-winning supplier of event registration dedicated to providing event organizers with a seamless registration experience and excellent customer service, as proven by their current NPS score of 71. JET provides a full registration solution for trade shows, exhibitions, and conferences, removing the stress of event registration so that event organizers can focus on making their next event the best yet. Visit jonas.events for more information. You mentioned just then Jitex being one of the events that you personally and obviously Dubai World Trade Center is heavily involved in. Want to talk about Jitex. Again, for those that aren't aware, just give us a summary as to Jitex Global, and then we'll talk about the events that are happening elsewhere in the world under the Jitex brand.
Sure. You know, I could go on talking about Jitex from many different angles, good, bad, stress, anxiety, hope. So I'm just going to kind of compress this and feel free to ask me specific questions because I don't know where, you know, how far I'm going to stretch this.
Sure.
This is a 30-year-old brand. It's conceptualized, it's a homegrown Arab brand. So you must understand there's a lot of pride here. It's not just for Dubai.
Sure.
It's for the world. The event sits in a region here that is not a Silicon Valley. It is not Europe. It is not US. So if you look at where this event sits in terms of the geographic catchment and the fundamentals of it, you will never believe that 30 years on, you can create the largest tech and startup show in the world sitting right here in the desert. In an economy with a population of 10 million in the UAE versus the tech giants, the juggernauts of Europe, China, and of course, US. So when you look at that, you look at the journey of where it comes. We were very focused from day one. And in between, it's just like we mirror the economy and the political situation. And as you go through, there's a lot of ups and downs. And sometimes I would say more downs than up. Because we are highly exposed as a tech show. We are the first acquisition of companies into the economy. Without us bringing companies in, you know, the hospitality, the airlines, and all the other services will not flourish. So all things said, the event has grown from a few halls to now the largest in the world. You know, we stand at a good 2 over 1 million square feet, including a startup event that we created 5, 6 years ago. And the reason why we have been able to scale, it's because we are focused not just for the good of Dubai or good of the region. We are focused, number one, on what's best for the industry. And we remain very connected with the industry from the start. There's a lot of trust. So just to give an illustration of what the show has undergone, I recall way back in 2008, 2009, even 2007 when I just joined, 2005. So 2007, we have big companies exiting from the show. The show was going through a personal and identity crisis. You have big consumer electronics in there, yet it sits alongside enterprise and they absolutely dislike each other. It's a very different a business model from hair dryers, television, to someone trying to sell an enterprise solution. It's a choice and strategy you have to make. And there was a lot of conversations. And I remember sitting in a conversation with HP for 7-8 hours just to convince them to remain in the show because you have Microsoft pulling out.
Yeah.
And Microsoft did exit 1 year. And you have to make the very painful decision of where the show is going to go because technology is already, during that time, evolving at an unrecognizable pace and face. You don't know how technology is like. From big hardware that takes up 500 square meters, 1,000 meters, square meters, it becomes cloud. There's nothing to show on the cloud, Dan. It's all in the cloud. There's nothing to show except one computer. So imagine the challenges, even on revenues, the stress on revenues and financials going to the board to make them understand. There's exhibitors will not bring that kind of space anymore. The consumer electronics people don't want to sit next to the Microsofts of the world. Where do you go from here? And then you have gaming coming in. How do you juxtapose all this? So all things said, we make some deep, painful strategic maneuvers. We cut out some of the profiles, which means that immediately you drop by millions, you drop by a few horse. But we believe that what's best for the industry and for the region is what we're going to have and present in the show. So we gave up on some of the profiles. We don't want to get involved in that, but we chose to focus on where are we going to be in a few years' time. And I think as we sit here today, we're very proud to say that some of these strategies has worked out well in our favor. We have triumphed. We also have competitors coming into the market here, Dan.
Sure.
Dubai is open. As I said to you, it is not like because we are from Dubai World Trade Center, there's bias. I can tell you, no. Sometimes they bend backwards even more just to show that they are not in favor. They are not favoring us. So we do have competitors coming to town. And I remember newspaper articles saying that this is the beginning of the end of Jitex. Because there were some mega big brands coming into town. And we are only a small UAE domestic homegrown brand taking on a global giant. But I'm also very pleased to say we survived, we lived to tell the tale.
Yeah.
The competition has exited. We stayed on, we persevered. And we created the startup show a few years ago that nobody believed in because there was no ecosystem here. It is not here. There was a lot of ambition and aspiration to build the startup ecosystem, the investment environment here, to bring in VCs and startups for this region to thrive, because UAE has a very clear vision of wanting to double its GDP in terms of the contribution from the digital sector to about 19% in 10 years' time. But it was hard for us to pitch the story to the world, to the stakeholders, to say, hey, we're going to create one of the biggest startup shows in the world here. But there are always advocates and there are always protagonists. And this is why we are very pleased that there are people who believe in us, despite the fact that there's a lot of skeptics. So we went ahead to conceptualize the event, and we got whatever. We don't have a funding much because we were like a startup. And today we run the biggest startup show in the world.
Amazing.
Despite the fact we don't have most startups as the rest of the world there.
You are listening to The Dan Assel Show, inspiring and insightful conversations with event professionals. The Dan Assel Show's official venue sponsor is conference and exhibition venue Business Design Center, which has just become B Corp certified, showing its high standards of social and environmental impact. For more information, visit businessdesigncenter.co.uk. Be notified first about new episodes by following me on Apple Podcasts and Spotify platforms, and by subscribing to my YouTube channel. Search Dan Assel. Thank you. And I know the show is very much an international show. I know there's lots of representation from Africa. And I'm keen to understand the reasons behind launching JITEX Africa, which, if I'm not mistaken, the first edition was in Morocco last year.
Yes. Now. Have you been to Marrakesh?
Sorry?
I need to get you out. Have you been to Marrakesh?
Well, interesting story, Trixie. You won't believe it, but my father is from Casablanca and my grandparents are from Marrakesh. And I have been to Marrakesh. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. I've been all over Morocco, actually. Yeah, understanding my heritage. So, yes, but I'd love to join you there one day. I know the show is in Marrakesh again in June, but talk to us about the thinking about, and the challenges, I guess, of expanding JITEX outside of Dubai into Africa.
I think if you were to ask any event organizer, let alone a tech event organizer, they would never think of going to Marrakesh. I've been asked a million times by my internal stakeholders, why Marrakesh?
Yeah.
Understanding that there's intuition involved, there's conversations with clients involved. We're very close to our clients. I think this is where, back to your earlier question, how we built the show. We're very close to our clients. We are guided a lot by what the ecosystem is telling us and where they see it going. But at the same time, it is not a first choice destination for launch of a show in Africa, for a lot of the stakeholders in the wider tech industry. So all things said, Africa is up and coming. It has been said that this will be, in time to come, the next Silicon Valley. The number of talents out there is incredible. A place like Nigeria, you go to visit canyons. There are so many talents. The last year I went there, I was astounded. You have very young Nigerians just sitting in the AI center, just pounding away without lights, simple room, computer, and they were firing away, just doing programming and coding. When we decide on a destination to launch a show, it is not just about the size of a market. Running a MICE event is very different from asking for FDI from a company. I'm presenting to you a five-day proposition versus, a five-year plan of greenfield investment in a city. So when we look at and evaluate destinations based on those parameters, Morocco was an interesting hub and gateway for us. It sits where, there's the whole going into the European space. You have, France, Spain, in Portugal, right up there. And then, of course, North Africa. And if you get it right, you get the rest of Africa, 50 other countries coming on. And that for us was the biggest challenge. It was not just launching a show. It's easy to launch a show then. But to launch a show to be the biggest in the continent in year one, it takes a whole new playbook and a whole new team of people who understand where that should go. And then just to also remind everyone here, we did not launch it in 1.5, 2 years. We launched it in 7 months.
Wow.
In a market that we are totally not familiar with, where our relationship with the stakeholders is definitely not as strong as the rest of the world. Of course, that got through with a lot of coordination and a lot of partnership. And we have an amazing team that kind of make sure that we reach our target and the mission of where it's going to be. So, and the biggest challenge for us is not just creating a Moroccan show. That would be a disaster. And we were very clear from day one, you will not be a Moroccan show. Otherwise, we call it Jitex Morocco or Jitex North Africa. No, it's going to be Jitex Pan-African. And again, very proud to say that we succeeded in our strategy and execution in bringing, you know, almost every country in Africa is represented in the show, whether it's exhibiting, whether it's from government visits, or whether it's by attendance. We have people coming from 120 over countries, which was astounding. The government was really coping with giving out visas that they have never given to people as far away as Venezuela, people coming from Australia and New Zealand. So, you know, in a very kind of high speed way, very challenging in a market that we, you know, is very unknown, especially in Africa. So you're dealing with a lot of challenges with suppliers as well. And it's not just bringing suppliers, you can find suppliers, but to get them to work with you to deliver a show that is on par with the very recognizable and distinctive Jitex standards. And what all the stakeholders are expecting of Jitex is a whole new ball game and a whole new challenge, even for my operations team. So every department, every function was stretched to the limit, not just in terms of time, resource commitment, it's also the creativity. Yeah. Pardon my language, a damn good experience, because I don't think you can ever find this in a textbook. Never mind what people tell you how it's being done.
And you're looking to do it again in another region in Europe, yes. In Germany, if I'm not mistaken, in 2025. So tell us a little bit about the reason behind that and how you're going to sort of try and replicate the success of Africa and obviously Dubai previous.
So someone was asking me, Trixie, how do you kind of identify the next market you're going to for expansion? So I say you just have to take out the map, the global map, and look at the air travel links, routes, where there's no direct flights from Dubai, we will be there. There's no direct flights from Dubai to Marrakesh.
Yeah.
And there's no direct flights from Dubai to Berlin, just so that you know. So we are going to places where there's no direct flights coming from Dubai. But all things said, Eurowings just, I think in the last month, they launched a direct flight, kind of a low-cost flight between Dubai and Berlin. But Emirates doesn't fly there in both destinations. Listen, Berlin is the hottest startup hub in Europe. It has the most nationalities, foreign startup founders and expats working there in any parts of Germany. And Germany, of course, is the largest economy in Europe. And it leads in its industrialization, transformation, achievements. And of course, big interests, big ambitions in the digital space. But at the same time, the integration into the rest of Europe is difficult. You are talking about, again, 50 over countries, depending on who defines it, you know, whether it's the UN or whoever. And then you have, you know, the Latvias, who is blazing away, you know, in the startup and digital space that sometimes people don't talk about. So we know that there's a lot out there. And again, we are guided by what the ecosystem is telling us in terms of creating tech paths. So the mission of Jitex is to look at the tech paths where we are able to expand the ecosystem, the digital ecosystem, marketplace for our clients. We will do it. But if a location is attractive, but it doesn't necessarily serve the purpose, but it's just hype, we won't do it. We're not in the business of launching a 1-2 horse shows for the sake of it. You need to understand, which is why it's taken us a bit of time sometimes to go into new markets, unless we know that it can create significant impact for the businesses of our clients, of our stakeholders, then yes, we go. So Berlin sits very nicely as a startup hub, you know, in the biggest economy in Europe. And of course, we have other shows, tech shows that is going on. But I don't think there's one tech show out there that has the DNA of Jitex. If you really map and look at it different, closely and scrutinize it, they are quite different in nature. And I think it's important to highlight this as well. And we are very proud to say that. The biggest tech shows in the world are run by associations then. CES is run by CEA, the association. Mm-hmm. Mobile World Congress is run by the association, yes. And then you have, for example, then you come down to VivaTech, which is, of course, then not by association, but is a conglomerate of different companies in the French ecosystem, different kind of makeup. And of course, Web Summit has a different model where it gets money to be funded by the city. And we are not. And we are not in the startup or the tech space. We are just a general, comprehensive, all-purpose, multidisciplinary event organizer. So for us to stake our claim and play in the space where it's hardcore tech, where people in those space are breathing and eating and drinking technology every day, you can imagine the challenges on my team, who is not, they are not from the tech ecosystem full-time. They don't come from that space. So this is that skill up that we need to do tremendously. And now going to Europe, the whole playbook and the technology advancement is also very different. So what is suitable for the region here in Dubai and Africa is very different over there. The stakeholder ecosystem is also very, very diverse. The government lobbying, not just in Germany, but the whole of Europe, which has very, differentiated laws and still trying to unify. And we all know even AI is the latest conversation. There's a lot going on there. So this is where it's very exciting for us, because now we really can create that tripartite link of three of the most interesting kind of regions in the world, in different continents as well, from Africa, which is up and coming, huge opportunities, different level and phases of development in digital. And then Dubai as a global hub that brings in different ecosystem, VC stakeholders looking to connect with the world. And I've got to Europe. So it's a very interesting play. And this is where we're going to be leveraging a lot in our global ecosystem and partnership to make it the most global and collaborative show in Europe.
Sure. Thank you. Very exciting. Really good to get an insight. Just a final question on Jitex then. What impact do you think having Jitex in other parts of the world will have on the Dubai show? Because logically, one might assume, if people were traveling from, let's say, Africa or Europe to Jitex Global in Dubai, and now you have events in those regions, specifically, does that mean that's going to affect the people that are going to travel to Jitex Global in Dubai because they already have a show in their region? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I think the question of cannibalization is always coming up. I think with a lot of different organizers as well. And this is, again, why I mentioned before, we do not just launch shows for the sake of it, just because of P&L, to satisfy the shareholders. One there, one there. It defeats the purpose because there's so much overlap. And then let's just recognize this. There's a lot of fatigue in our exhibitors and sponsors. Yeah. Just look at how many tech shows are being created every month, whether it's in Dubai, UAE, in the region or in the world. A big, small organizer, the entries of barriers is very, very low. Anyone can come in and create a AI conference tomorrow. Sure. But to do it with impact and long-lasting commitment and significance that really benefit the ecosystem, the community, and the city and the country and the region we operate in, is a whole new different paradigm. It's a whole new archetype that we're looking at here. So when we're looking at all these shows, we are also very clear in what we present to our clients, because otherwise they will not exhibit with us. They will not participate with us. They're very clear if there's going to be overlap, which is why the proposition of our events and the concepts when we go into each of these countries are very different. And very importantly, we need to make sure that we also present them that global proposition and positioning that they can achieve with us by being with us in this different region. So they find a reason to come and expand the business. You'll be amazed. In Jitex Africa, 90% of our exhibitors in Africa do not exhibit with Jitex in Dubai at all.
Right.
And a good 90% of them have never been to Jitex Dubai. So you can imagine we are opening up a whole new ecosystem now for the tech community, for them to engage. So the first priority is for the tech industry to be able to find new partnerships and engage. And this is, again, the hard work that we put in to try to make sure that we don't bring in the usual stakeholders and the people and the participants and all. We need to make sure that there are always new creative relationships that are formed, because tech space is becoming very collaborative. It's very difficult to run a one show. When someone come up with some products, whether it's AI or cloud, they need a lot of collaborations. And when that happens, it's transcendent. You need to go into different horizons. And I think that boundaries is also crossed. This is why a show in Dubai that attracts 180 countries, you know, coming to 200,000 people, has that phenomenal interaction and play and dynamics that you cannot replicate. Sure. And Dubai will always be for the world here.
Thank you. I just want to move on to COP28, which took place in December of last year in Dubai. Talk to me about that experience. Why was that important for the region and how did that play out?
Listen, you know, there's been, firstly, we're very privileged as my department as well. We were involved in COP. We were selected and appointed as the international sponsorship agency partner for COP to acquire and bring in all the global international sponsors into the event, which is a key part of making sure COP28 has that scale and, of course, that impact across the world and across many different sectors. So the team worked very hard on it the entire year. I think what COP28 stands for us is, of course, then from there, it was the year of sustainability for UAE last year. There has been a lot of initiatives that came out. And I think, you know, UAE sometimes is very misunderstood for the efforts that it has made in the space. If you look at the last 15 years, it has invested over $100 billion in renewable energy and efforts and financing. And there's another $100 billion that is upcoming in collaboration with the US, upcoming in the next 10 years. And of course, beyond that, you look at the COP in terms of the announcement that were made. On the very first day, there was the loss and damage fund that was announced, which was significant to kick off the whole COP. And immediately UAE, you know, contributed $100 million to that, as I think it's the biggest sponsor, alongside with Germany that also came in $100 million. And the rest of the other countries participated to a lesser amount. So if you look at all these efforts, and also with Masdar, you know, as probably one of the world's largest and, you know, green energy company here. It's been operating here for 15 years now. It's just gone into green hydrogen projects with Jordan and Netherlands. There are a lot of significant projects that's ongoing. And I just don't think sometimes the world sees that enough, maybe because we're all focusing on very different things. It's a transition economy here. Energy transition is a big part of what UAE is going through. And we know that while there's the hydrocarbons that's fueling the economy, a lot of that money is also put into diversifying the economy so that that money goes into creating the new digital green economy that we're all looking. Just like every other country, I don't think there's any different.
You are a director of UFI, or board director, the Global Association for the Exhibition Industry. So give us a flavour of Trixie's trends 2024.
Listen, I have to toe the UFI line because, as you suggested, I think Kai already gave out 5 solid trends indicators for the year. And of course, they're all spot on. And of course, I think Dan, you'll share with the audience in terms of what they are, in terms of data, talents, and all. I think just looking closer afield, just in terms of when I start work this year, where does it go? I emphasize on the exhibitor fatigue, the sponsor's fatigue. There's a lot of event coming up, whether it's in the tech space, food space. We run the biggest food show in the world. I also know how many food shows is coming up, coming into the market globally and all. Because when you talk shows, it's not just about large scale shows. You talk about conferences that can happen. 500 people, 1,000 people, 3,000, 5,000. And a lot of countries, cities as well are also, you know, mushrooming a lot of events, localized events. There's a lot of competition. There's a lot of overlap. So look at ourselves, just having us making one call to a client, you're selling 3 Gitexes now and, you know, and startups, let alone them getting a call every day. So this is the year of distinction being distinctive and differentiated, I think is important. There's a lot of Me Too shows around, and it's very hard to get away from not being Me Too. An exhibition is an exhibition. So again, then what goes into being different? Maybe we need to start to look at things that is not so tangible. Again, you talk about trust, you're talking about customer service, because these are the capital that you will need to draw on when clients have to make that distinction of where they're going to bet on the dollar. I trust your brand. I trust you and your team. Okay, I probably go with you versus someone else. So I think we need to look at those softer issues as well, beyond just looking at data. I think data tells a lot. And I know Kai mentioned about real-time data. I think that is very important. But I'm not so sure sometimes when you say real-time data, then it goes back to the operational excellence of it. How fast can you then react to this data and make the changes on the ground to mobilize the team to say, oh, now we need to change this because... So again, a lot of reflection on that part. But also at the same time, real-time data that happens is probably too late for the exhibitors. One day lost to them is the ROI down by, a third, let's say it's a three-day show whatsoever. So I think really looking at the kind of products that we do, and sometimes then I think less is more.
Sure.
Not trying to do a lot of events because we will cannibalize ourselves in no time. Unfortunately, there's no rule book or governance because it's a free capital market. So anyone can come up with shows. I think there needs to be a lot of self-introspection to say, let's do shows with impact. That's have a lot, a bigger significance on the industries that we're serving, rather than just coming up with numbers, quantity. So maybe quality now, significance, impact versus quantity to meet the P&L.
Sure. Thank you. And finally, Trixie, right at the beginning, I suggested or indicated that you've been in post in Dubai now for over 18 years. What's the secret, do you think, of your longevity and, shall I say, your success? What's kept you doing what you're doing?
I like the way you said, how did I stay there and not get fired yet?
I didn't say that.
Yeah, because many people ask me the question, like, we know it's not easy in the region. We know that.
Sure.
I think you need to know your place. You need to know your place first. And then you need to know your stakeholders and what they're after from you. I think if you go back to 2005, I've mentioned this in a few times in a few conversations that I've had. You would never imagine someone like me getting a job as such. I was very young in my early 30s. I'm a woman. I'll be very explicit and I'll keep it very real here. So no BS around here. I'm a woman. I'm in my early 30s, which means that comparing to an executive who's 50 years old, 40, internationally from, from other ethnicity, I don't come close at all. I don't. I won't even be granted an interview. And as I was saying, I was just going through a divorce, so also a little bit kind of tricky about, what's your status? Young, a woman, and I'm from the minority. Yeah, I'm Asian. Not so common in this part of the world or anywhere in the world in the events industry when it comes to kind of cross international boundaries. Yet, Dubai decided that they would take a chance on me with the new leadership. As I say, my boss came and then they were looking at refreshing and kind of rescoping, reframing the event space. So you have to give Dubai and the leadership a lot of credit. Diversity talk is all the rage now. In 2022, 21, this is Dubai in 2005. It was already into that space of being meritocratic, regardless of what you are, where you are, shape and size. It was already betting on that DNA of being adventurous, experimental, fail, but let's fail together. We act like a startup, we behave like a startup. You fail, you come back, it's fine. But just make sure you have the energy to come back. And come back quick. So all things said, I was an outlier during that time. And I think Dubai generally was an outlier altogether, even as a city, as an Emirates, as a country, UAE. I think it was that DNA that attracted both parties to say, okay, I think this is going to work. Let's try it. There's nothing wrong with trying. And Dubai is that place that you try. Let's try to open up soon with the pandemic. Let's try and see the comeback, how it all works. And I think this is where, as an outlier, I now become the mainstream. which I think is a very beautiful story for myself personally and altogether. And I've seen how the leadership here has grown as well. In the events business, we bring in new people. So to your point, yeah, myself as a career, I think it's a very meritocratic-centric place. Whether it's as an organization and in Dubai, there's a lot of opportunities. It's up to people who want it and who has the talent and the capacity and the willingness to really take this and make it extraordinary and make yourself outstanding. So I think the chance is there. The opportunity is there for everyone. You just need to know you have to take it, but at the same time, you have to prove yourself to make sure you make the right decisions to stay on. Because if you don't, you also know the consequences here. So you need to pivot quite right.
Thank you, Trixie. It's been fascinating. You've given us a whirlwind of an insight into a number of topics. I'm sure we could have extended this by a couple of hours. We congratulate you on all your successes over the last 18 years. And we look forward to what's to come for maybe the next 80.
Hopefully. Looking forward. But thanks so much for having me. Really enjoying it. It's a very nice session to reflect as well.
Yeah.
So thanks for the opportunity and to your audience as well.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed the episode. The Dan Astle Show is grateful for the support of headline sponsor Jonas Event Technology, venue sponsor Business Design Centre, and event organiser supporters Terrapin and 19 Group. Be notified first about new episodes by following the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and by subscribing to the YouTube channel. Search Dan Astle.